We'd like to take a moment to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Now, I'm going to make a bold prediction and guess that at some point, you're going to need tires. That's why they call me Kreskin Malyotzi. Now, at TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, can be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. Which leads me to my second bold prediction, that you've learned more from this message than from the rest of our show. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for the Study of the Mind of the Mechanic here at Car Talk Plaza.
No, it's not just the mechanic.
Well, we have new insights, and this is actually a study that took place in Italy. But since we are both Italian Americans and auto mechanics, I feel confident in applying the results willy-nilly, whoever willy-nilly is, to auto mechanics everywhere. This was published in the Italian Psychology Review, Risa Psicosomatica. And here's the news. You ready for this?
Yeah.
70% of Italian men and women interviewed confessed to telling between 5 and 10 lies every day. With the most common of all lies being, you ready for this? Tell me if this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's all been taken care of.
I don't think this applies to mechanics everywhere. I have to take issue with that.
Really?
Yeah. I think it applies to Italians everywhere.
Maybe.
I mean, 7 to 10 every day?
Well, his 27% lie to cover up errors. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Another 21% lied for the good of some other person. For example, one of your guys leaves the drain plug loose on the oil pan. Yeah. You're going to lie to protect him, right?
Of course.
Otherwise, they'll put him up before a firing squad.
All your wife says, am I fat? And you're lying to protect your butt.
Well, code of honor kind of stuff. You know. And 42% said they lied to avoid conflicts. That's pretty good.
Yeah, like if your wife says, am I fat?
You see, so we got 42%, 27% from the other thing, 21%. What's that come up to?
90.
90. What about the other 10%?
I guess they just lied for practice. I love this study.
Have you lied today?
I lied today. No. I got a lot of catching up to do. I got 10 to go.
We got a few lies in store. Am I fat?
No.
Do I look fat to you?
No, you're short. Short for your weight. Is that what they say?
Well, that's good. That's very comforting.
How do I look? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now
if you want to call us about your car or have us lie to you about your
only
car.
Only 9 to go.
The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kate from Northwood, Ohio.
Hi, Kate.
Northwood, Ohio.
Yes.
Have you lied today, Kate?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
Well,
have you been lied to, do you think?
Well, of course I have.
Already today?
I've talked to a man, I'm sure.
Ooh, okay.
Was he Italian?
An Italian man, too, at that.
It can be guaranteed then. Wow.
Well, what's up, Kate?
Wait. I got to locate you on the geophysical plane here.
Northwood, Ohio.
Northwood, Ohio.
Near what?
Toledo, right outside of Toledo.
Toledo. It is one of the most exciting towns in America.
It really is. It gets a bad rap, but it really is a fun town.
No, it's not.
That was my life of the day.
9 more to go, Casey.
Actually, it's true because I don't lie much, and that's why I'm constantly in conflict.
Oh, yeah.
See,
you should lie more.
I could have said, oh, Toledo, that's a nice town. I could have said that.
You could have said something like, yes, I've been there. And
I've
even though
there.
I didn't find it particularly exciting, I know for most of the people there, it must be pretty nice.
Yeah, I could have said that. Yeah. And yet, something about me.
They call that tact.
Tact.
You have no tact.
I have no tact.
No class.
Very smooth.
Yeah.
And yet, people do call me tacky.
That you have.
So, Kate, what's on your mind?
Okay.
What do you want to discuss?
I'm so glad I got a hold of you guys because I need you to restore my faith in mechanics. and save my marriage here.
Oh, wow.
I own a 940 Turbo Volvo 91, which I love the car. But for the last year and a half or so, I've had this kind of phantom problem. I'd go out to start it, turns over, I wait for a few seconds, try it again. And it has almost always eventually started.
Mm-hmm. So when you say you turn it over, you turn the key and it cranks, it goes wow,
but
it doesn't fire up. It doesn't start.
No, yeah. And eventually it will start. Mm-hmm. And my problem is my husband owns his own garage. I have taken it to him repeatedly. I have called him, like when I've been doing this for 2 or 3 minutes, I'll pick up the phone. It won't start. And he'll come running home. The second he puts a key in it, it starts. And I said, why can't you do something about this? Why can't you figure out this problem? He said, if it's not broken, I can't fix it. I don't know what to do about it.
He's lying.
Well, listen to this. This gets better. And he is a good mechanic. And the reason I can tell he's a good mechanic is because he just recently sold his 30-foot boat, and he's looking for a bigger one. So I know he's a good mechanic.
Now, how often did this non-starting condition happen for you?
Randomly. Sometime it would be 2 or 3 days in a row. It wouldn't necessarily be first thing in the morning. It could be in the middle of the afternoon. I could have done it and turned the car off and gone out to it 10 minutes later, and it would have done it. And then it would go for weeks and not do it. And I try to think, is it cold? Is it hot? Is it damp out? Is it dry out? Is it...
Good.
There was just no pattern.
No pattern.
Gas tank full, gas tank empty, radio on, radio off. You know, anything. I couldn't figure out
anything. You have a scientific mind, Kate. I will say that.
Oh, thanks.
You tried to find correlations, and
that's
what we deal with, you know?
I couldn't find a thing.
Well, I mean... These intermittent problems are, of course, the most difficult to find, because he's right that if it's not doing it when he looks at the car, then there's nothing he can find that's wrong, because there isn't anything wrong. So now he's got to start deducing what might it be.
And how much money you have.
And whether it's full payment time or not.
Now your husband is in the ideal situation to start replacing stuff at random.
And he has. He's done the distributor. We've done the starter. He did the coil, wires, plugs. Tested it. Every time he'd come home, he'd have his tester to make sure it was getting spark.
Yeah.
Has it ever not started and gotten spark?
It's always getting spark.
Okay.
Or it appears that it's always getting spark.
Okay. Right.
But your husband has never actually experienced the problem.
No.
Well, you have to do a binary search here.
Okay.
You have to discover if it's either fuel or spark.
Okay.
And it could be both, but it's a million and one shot that it is both.
Right.
It's probably one or the other, and you have to learn how to ascertain when it doesn't start if you have spark. So he has to rig up a device for you, even if it's this extra timing light.
He can do this easily.
So that when it doesn't start, you can determine in an instant if the thing has spark all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If it has spark and it still doesn't start, then the problem is fuel. And there aren't many things it could be. And the thing that comes to mind first off is the fuel pump relay.
Okay. And
he may not have changed that already.
Okay.
But he should, because it's cheap and that's likely to solve the problem. And it's just the kind of thing that could be this intermittent.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I would change it.
You have restored my faith in mankind and mechanic kind.
Yeah, this is my first lie of the day.
Wait a minute. Don't worry about it. It's all been taken care of.
Right.
Yeah.
That's always how it comes home. I think I found it this time.
I think it'll work now.
Yeah. No, and if he doesn't figure it out, I mean, he just has to really start putting in stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I would ask him to hook up a spare timing light. So you can actually see if it's spark. Because if it's getting spark, the timing light will flash.
Okay.
So if you turn that key and the timing light doesn't flash, and he can mount that right in the front seat.
Okay.
Easily.
Set it right on the dashboard so it flashes right in your eyes.
Yeah.
Good luck, Kate.
Thanks very much. I know this is going to work.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all fixed. No problem.
Don't worry about it. It's all been taken care of. I like that.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Kate.
It's been a real pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim Davis calling up from the labs.
Jim!
Oh, I'm sure he has some deep
Well, we did, except we don't remember the question.
You. Well, yes. What's this about some guy setting his car on fire with a can of Sprite?
Oh, this is a guy who claimed a can of soda pop melted his leather upholstery.
Must have been a pretty hot car.
Oh, right. He spilled it on the door or something, and it melted the leather.
Yeah, I think he said it charred it a bit.
Disfigured, I think.
I put together a research team, and we checked out a can of Sprite from the Greenhouse Cafe here in the Science Center.
Uh-huh.
And I went up to the lab and put a piece of leather in a 100-degree Celsius oven, which is 212 Fahrenheit, the boiling point of water.
Wow, that's pretty hot.
And I let it get good and hot, you know, really hot car type hot. And then I poured a can of Sprite on it,
and
it foamed and sizzled just like it should. You know, these clear drinks are mostly carbonated water. That's water that has carbon dioxide dissolved in it under pressure.
Sure.
Plus sugar and a little flavoring.
Yeah.
And so if you pour that on a hot surface, you would indeed expect it to foam and boil and to see clouds of what
looks like. You're releasing the gas, right?
The gas, you're boiling the water, and you're caramelizing
the
sugar.
You're driving the CO2 out.
Right.
But I did not succeed in carbonizing the sugar.
No, that would have to be hotter.
That happens normally at or slightly above the boiling point of water, and I doubt that his car gets that hot. So what I suspect happened is probably that the liquid dissolved some dye or dirt or sweat or something from the leather and just left a sort of a stain there. I'd be very surprised if it really charred. But if your listener was able to char it, I would be interested to hear more about it.
Well, we may need a sample, right? You may have to mail us the door.
So your opinion here, Jim, let me just get this straight.
Okay.
Your opinion is based solely on this bogus little experiment you did, and you did not make any reference to the literature.
No, we did not do a massive literature search. We
you
decided
did not.
To skip that step and go
and you
right
didn't duplicate actual field conditions.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Or it's simulated in the lab. I didn't want to pour it on my own car.
That's very, very good. I'm glad that you're right on top of things.
Well, I'm happy to help here.
Thank you very much. For people who don't know, Jim is a professor of chemistry at the world's greatest university here in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Well, actually a senior lecturer, but thanks anyway.
Whatever. And Jim is on the staff of Dewey Cheatham and Howe in the chemical division.
Our resident chemist.
Why, I'm chairman of the chemical division.
Chairman
of the chemical division. And he puts together in his laboratory. With the laboratory, is that like on the second floor with all the porcelain stuff?
No, I think it's in the basement of Cartalk Plaza somewhere.
Thank you very much.
WGU wouldn't want to claim it, I think.
They
I bet not.
Wouldn't.
Okay, guys, talk to you later.
Thanks for
calling, Jim.
See you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Cartalk.
Aloha, this is Nima from Makawao, Hawaii.
Oh,
Nima,
really?
N-E-M-A?
N-I-M-A.
No, Nima.
Nima.
Yeah.
From where in Hawaii?
Makawao. It's upcountry Maui.
Oh.
Upcountry Maui.
Yeah, I'm at about 1,600 feet.
Oh, that kind of up.
Yeah, that kind of up.
Not north, but up.
I'm actually kind of low for upcountry, but it's called upcountry.
And you actually have a car?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, I hardly use it. But
yeah.
Once a week to get my New York Times, I've got to go down.
Yeah.
You know, they're printing the New York Times every day now.
No.
I know, but, you know, when you don't live in the East, you know, it's
why
kind
bother?
Of expensive.
Exactly. The Sunday Times is good enough.
I'm spending almost $8 on the Sunday paper as it is.
Well, we can send it to you a week late, and I'll send it to you for nothing. It's only $8 postage.
Yeah, actually, old news is good news. There's a lot less to worry about.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
Anyway, what's going on, Nima?
Okay, I've got a the 95 Neon, and I first start driving the car. When I hit the brakes, they squeal.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I've driven a while and used the brakes some, the sound goes away.
Good.
And I'm just wondering, people keep telling me that it's nothing to worry about. They just build up a little moisture or rust because I'm not using the car. And that's why it goes away when I use the brakes, except I don't hear anybody else's cars doing this.
Well, it's nothing to worry about.
Truly.
No, moisture builds up on the brakes.
Yeah.
Where you are is moist, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And the fact that you let your car sit for days at a time contributes to the problem.
And your friends are 100% right in what they're telling you.
Really?
And if their cars aren't doing it, it's probably because they drive them more than once a week to get the New York Times.
Sometimes, I mean, it does. Sometimes I actually use the car 2 days in a row.
Get out.
Well, that's when sometimes the Sunday Times comes out on a Monday. She gets it both days.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, even if I just leave it overnight,
have a tendency to do this more than others. And if you've had the brake, I mean, I'm assuming you've had someone check the brakes.
Yeah, I had them checked last year, and they replaced something. And then, of course, almost right away, it was happening again.
Did you have them done at the dealer? Did you have them take them to Dodge of Maui, or did you go to a local?
I went to a local thing.
He may have put in, or she may have put in, non-factory pads, which do have a tendency to make more noise than the factory pads. If you had them done recently, I especially wouldn't worry. But if you want, you can take them to the fellows who did the brake job and ask them to put the anti-squeal paste on them.
Oh, okay.
There's a paste we use, which is like a grease with copper in it, and it goes on the backside of the pads. And that usually stops the noises.
Oh, okay.
Good luck, Nima.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for your call.
But don't worry.
All right.
Why was she worried? She's in Hawaii.
She's not worried.
See you later.
She's not worried about anything. She's worried about nothing.
Right.
Stay out of the hot.
Bananas are growing outside her bathroom window, and that's all she cares about.
Well, outside my living room window, but yeah, I got bananas.
All right,
close. I was close.
You were close.
See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Tommy, it's coming up on Puzzler Time, and I suppose you need a hint. You remember last week's question, right?
You've been reading my mind, man.
It's a quick read, man. Okay, when you took the IQ test, you got a what?
I got a sort of sympathetic look from the guy administering the test.
No, I was looking for a false positive.
Ah!
The puzzle was about a diagnostic test and its rate of false positives, and we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
It could be candy, apple, red, lemon, twist, or flat, black, but it's got to turn a quarter mile and under 12 flat. A poured out V8, a four-barrel, too. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know what they do. A Hollywood. Charger sticking out of the blue. Rolling down the interstate at the speed of sound. Glass packs rattling for 20 miles around. I don't care if they're cheap or close to try. I want a hot rod before I die.
And even though King Kong waddles back and rips another antenna off NPR headquarters every time he hears us say it, this is NPR. A quick shout out to one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Now, Casper mattresses are American-made and obsessively engineered for comfort, so you can fall asleep during the first few seconds of our show and not have to toss and turn until the first call before nodding off. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give just the right amount of sink and bounce. Think 82 Lincoln Town Car. The best thing is that they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and returns. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price, so go to casper.com/cartalk to check out their options. They even have a special offer for listeners of this podcast. Use the promo code CARTALK and get another $50 off. And we promise they won't try to sell you the rust-proofing. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. This was the final puzzler of the current puzzler season.
So I should, like, savor this one. It's going to be a doozy, isn't it? A real season-ending splash? Is it going to be as good as the mango tree?
Jerk.
All right.
There's a rare disease sweeping through your town called, and the disease is called ACI, and it produces irreversible anal cranial inversion. You may have noticed that my brother has it. Now, of all people exposed to ACI, only 0.1% actually contracted.
Ah.
Okay, a tenth
0.1%.
A tenth of a percent.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
0.001.
Then. And if you catch it early before the symptoms present, you can get treatment and maybe you can be cured. Fortunately, there's a diagnostic test which can detect ACI up to a year before the inversion occurs. So anyway, you go to your doctor and he administers the test and it comes out positive.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, I'm done for. Then you get a little bit encouraged. You say, wait a minute, doc, is this test 100% accurate? And he says, well, not really, but it's 95%
accurate. 95%
accurate. Right. In other words, 5% of the people who take the test will test positive, but they don't really have it. The question is, what are the chances that you will actually have an irreversible anogranial inversion? And the answer is, have you worked out the math yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, let's do it this way.
Go ahead.
What did I say? The rate is 0.1%?
Yeah.
Okay, so 0.1% of the people who are exposed would actually get it. That's 1 in 1,000. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you tested positive, and you figure I'm done for, especially when you find out the test is 95% accurate. But if it is 95% accurate, that means if 1,000 people take the test, 50 people who don't have the disease will test positive, right?
Let me see now.
Well, let's make it simple 95%,
for you. 95%,
yes. Let's say if it was 100 people who took it. Let's start here, Tommy. 100 people.
No, I'm with you. I was on a different track. I'm with you. 50 people who take the test will test positive, and yet they will not have
it. Right, so I have 1,000 people who take it.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're included in that 1,000.
Yes.
Okay, 51 people out of 1,000 are going to test positive. One of those people is going to have it, and 50 are not going to have it.
Correct.
So your chances of actually having it, even though you tested positive, are 1 in 51, or a little less than 2%.
2%.
And that's just another way that statistics can fool you and lie to you and make you jump suicidal and jump off a bridge. Because you tested positive.
Sure.
And the test is 95% accurate.
Sounds so good. So you're saying 2% is pretty small.
Well, I mean, your chances of having it are 20-fold greater than just a person off the street.
Exactly, right,
you know,
which is only 0.1%.
By testing positive.
Yeah.
But it's still, I mean, considering how dire the news was just a moment ago.
It's now down to 2%.
Down to 2%, I mean.
Don't even pay any attention to it.
I mean, you got
a
2% chance of being hit by Skylab. Is that still up there? Anyway,
yeah.
who's our winner?
The winner is, no kidding.
Jeez.
What are the chances of this? Wow, the winner is a guy named, and I'm going to pronounce it correctly for us, Frank Migliozzi, or as some people would say, Migliozzi.
Yeah.
From Rye Brook, New York. Wow. Wow.
Could be a misspelling. Maybe our name is misspelled.
Exactly.
Maybe we're supposed to be Tom and Ray Migliozzi.
Who would care?
I'm not. I
don't care. Anyway, Frank, for having your correct answer selected at random from the kayak full of correct answers that we got this week, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which you can get like a Best of Car Talk CD, which is guaranteed to bore your kids to sleep on those long summer road trips. You just stick this in the little CD player, and when all those kids are going, yeah, 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 right to sleep.
Well,
knock them right out.
Well, we will not be having a new puzzler in the third half of the show, but we will give you information, news, data on how you can get your puzzler fixed for the next few weeks. You know, so in the meantime, if you want to call us about something else.
For how long is the vacation of the puzzler?
It's being negotiated. That's all I can say. Anyway, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chet from Hickory, North Carolina, or as they say here, Hickory.
Hi, Chet.
Hickory.
I've got a politically incorrect 97 Suburban.
Yeah.
I have a twofold problem. I don't think they're related, and I know you only like to deal with one problem, but the one problem is in the beginning of the day, and the other problem reveals its ugly head after I've been driving a while.
Oh, they might be related, sure.
So
sure.
Does my brother. His ugly head. He's been driving for a while.
The first problem is it has to do with the steering. I'm driving around on these curvy country roads, and right in the beginning of the drive, it seems like the steering, if I'm into a curve either left or right, it loses its tension, and which causes me to jerk the car to the left or to the right. Like it's.
Oh, you mean it gets easier to steer?
Easier to steer.
And so you're pulling on the steering wheel and all of a sudden you're oversteering.
Exactly.
And that happens in the morning.
In the morning.
Got it. Steering. I wrote this down. This is going to take a lot of thinking. PM problem. Yeah.
Okay. The second problem is after I've been on the interstate for, let's say 30 minutes or so, then I get off on side roads and stop and go traffic. At slow speeds on acceleration, the transmission shifts from first to second, and it seems like somebody just hit me in the rear end.
Oh, right. You get that harsh upshift.
Exactly. And my oldest daughter has refused to ride with me anymore until I get that fixed. So I need to get that fixed.
So that doesn't really happen in the PM. That happens after a half an hour of driving.
Well, yes. It happens after. It seems to me that the car has all the oils, fluids have heated up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, from first to second and from second to third, I get this hard slam.
Okay, I let me discuss this with my brother just for a minute here.
Okay.
I think we're safer if we don't say they're related.
How are we going to get rid of Chet? He sounds like a nice enough guy.
But we don't know
the
answer.
We've got a snowball chance of giving him an answer.
No, we certainly can't answer.
Okay, Chet, we're back.
No, wait. Which one are we going to try for? I want to go for the steering. I want to go for the steering problem. Well, the upshift problem is as simple. We can dismiss him.
Simple RC circuit.
Okay. Oh, come on. I need to fix both problems.
Oh, Chet, hey, are you still there? Sorry, we got a little static there.
Yeah, I heard the static.
Solar flares.
Yeah, that happened.
Did you buy this thing new?
Yes, I did.
And did the transmission problem come up all of a sudden?
Yes, it did. It came up about 30 days ago.
And did you go to anyone to have it looked at?
No, I just had it serviced, and they said it doesn't seem to be a problem. Of course, it sat there all day before they tried it.
Oh, you brought it in to have them look at it, and they said?
Well, I had the fluids changed.
Oh, you did. Okay.
But I don't think they changed the transmission fluid because all they did was test drive, and it said we didn't experience the problem.
Right,
which,
but it doesn't
do they
it
wouldn't
for because... the first half hour.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, you need to go back to them and have it. I mean, I fear the worst for the transmission.
Uh-oh.
So I think maybe you have slippage, and when it catches up and actually engages, that's when you feel that kick in the seat of the pants. So it may be that the transmission, a rebuild is in the offing.
Oh,
which
no.
makes your other problem insignificant by comparison.
Well, no, the other problem, they could be related because it's possible that one of these times when he's going around some curve on one of these little country roads.
Oh, the thing shifts.
The thing lets go, the steering lets go somehow and does that business where it's suddenly easier to steer. He oversteers and goes right in the path of a semi, in which case he won't have to fix the tranny.
Exactly.
So they could be, we could make them be related.
Jeez.
In this very difficult way.
The thing that comes to mind is that your alignment is out, specifically the caster.
I just had it aligned about 45 days before this started.
You are a very, very bad caller, Chet, and we don't want you calling back anymore. And in fact, we've got you on our caller ID, and the calls from you will not be answered in the future.
Thanks a lot.
He just had an alignment. Well,
so did the alignment exacerbate the problem, or it was okay, and then all of a sudden, boom, the problem occurred?
It was okay, and then all of a sudden, the problem occurred.
Well, why did you have it aligned in the first place?
The tires were wearing poorly. They were getting worn on the outside.
Yeah. So you had an alignment done, and at the same time, you bought new tires.
Right.
And then it was okay for 45 days.
Approximately, yes.
And then it suddenly started doing this steering thing.
Right, but only in the morning.
Oh, only in the morning. Okay, hold on again. Even though I wrote this down as an AM problem, I forgot that it was only in the morning. In which case, I don't think that what you experience is what the problem is. I think that when you experience it, that's when the power steering is working correctly.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe.
And prior to that, it's working incorrectly.
Uh-huh.
Because that would make sense. It's cold. The power steering is not working right.
And it may be as simple as the fact that the belt is slipping.
Could be that.
Or the pump is not putting out enough pressure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I would certainly check the belt first.
Mm.
Okay.
And then they can check the output, the pressure of the pump.
All right.
And I would just, for yucks, double check the alignment too.
Okay.
Just to make sure that isn't gone. And then after you rebuild the transmission, you won't have any money to fix any of the other things, and you'll live with it.
Now, see, Chet, I mean, I hope this is a lesson to us, at least. Yogi Berra said it so well, it ain't over till it's over. We started out trying to cut you off. We had no idea what the answer to either of your questions was, and yet, using the talking therapy,
yes,
invented by Sigmund Freud,
yes,
we were able to give you answers to both of those questions, much to our own amazement as well as yours.
You guys did an excellent job, which I expected.
See you, Chet. You're a good sport.
Take care, guys.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you talk long enough,
you'll have, well, it's like you put a monkey in front of a typewriter. Eventually, you're going to get War and Peace.
That's what just happened here. I mean, you never know.
You never know. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Becky from Thousand Oaks, California.
Hi, Becky.
Thousand Oaks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I mean, there can't still be a Thousand Oaks there. They've got to be either none or 10,000.
Oh, we call it like 500 Oaks.
500 Oaks. So what's going on?
Well, I drive a 99 Toyota Avalon, and I sell real estate, and I listed a house last December that it had kind of a story behind it there. It was an elderly couple, and they had about 50 cats in this house. And some of them were dead. Mm. And a lot of these cats had gone to the bathroom in the house. It was just a really stinky, bad house. And the major part of the smell was in the garage. And I pulled my car into the driveway one afternoon, and it was really hot outside. I left the car running with the AC going, and I left it on recirculation, so it was circulating the outside air in, not knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Parked right in front of the garage.
Oops.
So when I got back in my car, it stunk. But I thought, you know, I'd been in the house for like 10 minutes, and, you know, that smell gets on your clothes, and I thought, oh, it's just on me. I went home, I took a shower, I forgot about it. The next morning, I got in my car, I was driving, I flipped on the air, and the moment the air started coming in, it was that house smell. It was really bad. So I took it to the dealership, and I said, you got to do something about this smell. It's in my air conditioning unit. They thought maybe there was a rodent in the engine cage, and they went through it and tried to find it. They kind of sprayed Lysol through the vents, said, come get your car. It's all fixed. So I did, and once I turned the AC on again, it still smelled like the dead cats.
How long have you left the air conditioning on since this incident?
Okay, if I leave the air going for like 10 or 15 minutes, it will eventually be tolerable.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the mechanism is by which you sucked something into the cooling system, into the air conditioning system there. And something is in there which sort of does something for a little while, then it doesn't do it, then it does it, then it doesn't do it, and I'm confused. I don't know how that could happen.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm stupid, so I mean, I'm sure that there are other.
I'm stupid's brother, so what the hell do you expect from me?
I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I think, Becky, that you're crazy.
No.
I mean, that's the most logical explanation.
And it is. I mean,
you're just so flipped out over the smell,
yeah,
that you're smelling it every place. Do other people in the car say, if you put someone else in the car and don't say anything?
Yes,
maybe your friends are too.
No, they think it's her.
Well, they might think they may think it's you, but yeah, but eventually the smell will go away. The smell that's in the house is the smell of dead mammal.
Yes.
The smell that's in your car is also the smell of dead mammal, just a different mammal. Okay?
You think?
It's a rodent.
You think there's...
It's a mouse.
No. You think that the coincidence is that she drives into this driveway and... In that moment, those 10 minutes that she's in the house...
Well, look at it this way.
A rodent crawls in somewhere?
If the house is full of cats, would you expect it to be any mice in the house?
Yeah, that would make sense.
There ain't no mice in the house.
No.
They're all outside.
No, you're nuts.
Telling
you. You're crazy, man. You're getting crazier every day.
And you know what?
And you're taking me with you.
There's a piece of your clutch that's jammed in between the flywheel. No, I'm telling you, there's a rodent in
there. There's no rodent in there. And why does the smell go away?
Because you just get used to it. I mean, you can have someone take apart the heating system, but it's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You can try spraying things down there. And Lysol's as good as any. We've used this stuff called Frigifresh, which is made by BG Industries.
Okay.
And it works pretty well. It's mainly designed to get that musty mildew smell out. So you may need to put, what you do is you run the air conditioner on full blast, and you spray the stuff in the vents that are right in front of the windshield.
Okay.
Yeah, and eventually the smell will go away, or you'll get used to it. Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about it. I tell you, I had a mouse die in my office, and the smell was I didn't know where he was until one day
You blamed Peter, didn't you?
I blamed everybody. The first on my list was you. No, Berman was the first on my list. And I finally opened the top drawer of my desk, and I had, for whatever reason, I was looking for something, and I pulled the drawer all the way out, and there's the poor little devil, feet up to the sky.
Yeah.
And, man, did he stink.
Yeah. Well, and we all do when we're in that situation.
We sure do. And some stink more than others.
Yeah.
So I would think that eventually the smell will go away. If you want to spend the money, you can have someone take the thing apart. I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Tough it out for a few more weeks.
Okay.
See ya.
All right, you guys.
Good luck, Becky.
Thank you.
And remember, my brother is crazy.
Yes.
I'll remember that.
Bye, Becky.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling.
Hey, Tommy, it's time for us to take a little break.
Great. I mean, have I got time to call my kids and I can tell them about all the great advice that I gave out today?
Oh, sure. That'll take way less than a minute. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Well, on your way to your destination, careful you don't get stopped. Step on the gas with no hesitation, and then on your foot is so high. Why not get into your motor car and drive? Energy is on exhilaration, making you feel so alive.
And even though the Brothers Grimm say, "Isn't that scaring little children?" whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast of Car Talk comes from Better World Club, the nation's only green auto club with 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance. Hey, unlike me and my brother, they will actually help you when you have car trouble. They also offer auto and homeowners insurance and travel services, and they're not part of the highway lobby. I wonder who they're talking about there. They're so green, they even invented bicycle roadside assistance. Check out Better World Club's e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, named the Onion of Corporate Newsletters by EcoTalk Radio, and learn more about Better World Club at betterworldclub.com/NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and anything else you want to talk about. But first, Tommy, you've got some mail, don't you?
I do have mail.
Go for it.
This is from Mike Evans from Cyberspace. Recently, one of you, parenthetically, he doesn't say this, one of you jerks, I think is what he means.
Yeah,
one of
sure.
you got himself into a lot of hot water by saying that his wife looked like a truck. Well, it's not exactly true.
No, not looked like, was, I think was the...
I'm not sure which one it was. I used to be able to tell you apart because one of you, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I'm an expert on the topic of how to make a marriage last, although my ex-wife would probably disagree. And I'm here to tell you that all is not lost.
Oh. Ah.
You simply need to be more specific about what type of truck you're talking about. So, the next time you're on the road and you spot some beautiful customized truck or maybe a shining, decked-out, brand-new tractor-trailer rig, you turn to your wife and you say, "Hun, that's what I really need."
You look like a Diamond Rio.
You look like a beautiful, fully loaded truck. Actually, you might want to leave out the fully loaded part. Also, there are any number of trucks on the road that probably look much better than your wife, and it would be best not to point that out.
Maybe.
If all else fails, you could say that you committed a Freudian slip or a vacuum leak or whatever that you meant to say. My wife looks like not a truck, like my wife looks like $1 million, and she misunderstood.
Oh, right, of course, of course.
Michael Evans from Newburgh, Oregon. Mike, this is some really good advice, and I'm sure that it's going to get me out of hot water. Yeah, right. I'll just file that.
Yeah, throw that right out. Anyway, with the puzzler on vacation for the next few weeks, months, or years, my brother will be dipping into the mailbag quite a bit. So if you have something you think he'd like to read, send it to him at Mail for Tommy, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email him from cartalk.com. By the way, for those of you who already missed the puzzler, and I know it's only been a few minutes, you can go to cartalk.com and check out this week's classic puzzler.
Yeah, classic. Is that like an oldie but goodie?
Well, it's an oldie anyway. That's as far as I'm going to go.
It's good enough.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. Hi.
This is Glenn in Miami.
Is there one N or two in Glenn?
Just like it sounds, Glenn.
Three N's.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn.
What's up?
I got a softball, I think, and hopefully you'll save my marriage, save my arm, the whole kit and caboodle. My wife doesn't like the way I drive. She says that when I'm driving my 5-speed, that I'm not using the clutch properly.
Mm-hmm.
And in a nutshell, what I do is I don't use the clutch to take the car out of gear.
Yeah.
And I have assured her without having any basis that this is perfectly normal and that I couldn't have gone 70,000 miles without doing something right. So what I need is what I'm hoping for is your stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
So you are downshift or taking it out of gear.
I'm just taking it out.
So you're coming to a stop, I guess, and you just want to get it out of fourth and put it into neutral, for example.
Right. I'm accelerating. I'm on the highway, and I'm accelerating, and then I go into like a coast, and as I'm letting off the gas, I just ease it out of gear, and it comes out like butter.
But why do you want it out of gear if you're on the highway?
Well, you know, sometimes I'm not sure if I'm going to be going into fifth or if I'm going to be braking and going down to third or, you know.
Oh, so you got to just let it lay there in neutral.
Yeah.
Until you decide.
Right.
And her contention is that by popping it out of gear
the
way you do, you're damaging the transmission. But in fact, you've driven it for 70,000 miles. I've been doing this the whole time.
Yeah, and this is my fourth 5-speed.
In how many years?
This year.
since 85 was when I started driving.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have no strong evidence that it is going to wreck your transmission. I have no conclusive evidence.
Uh-huh.
Although there is some evidence to say that in the long haul, it may damage the synchronizers. In the
have you had any trouble with transmissions?
Not a bit.
In those five vehicles?
Never had any transmission problems.
Well, I agree with my brother. You could be doing some damage to the synchros.
You know, you're not helping me.
We're with you, Glenn.
We're with you. We're saying that if you didn't do it properly.
Right.
Because if you pull it out of gear or mm-hmm. push it out of
or
gear.
Or force it.
And it's not wanting to jump out anyway.
Right.
And that would be a function of how fast the engine is turning. So if you played with the gas pedal until you felt no more resistance on the shift lever and popped it out of gear, that would be fine. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. So,
but if my wife starts hearing a big pop, then she knows that I'm, you know.
She won't even hear much. You'll feel it more than she'll hear anything.
I see.
On the other hand, I have to question why you're doing this at all, because I can understand doing it if you're like coming to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't decided what gear to go into, mm-hmm. why are you putting it into neutral? Why don't you just wait until you decide and then do it?
Well,
it's like biting one's fingernails. It's just a bad habit.
It is a bad habit.
And Glenn's been doing it for 350,000 miles, and it's going to be very, very difficult to break this habit.
Well, he's going to have to break the habit.
Your wife is going to have to give you a dope slap
every time you do it.
But see, that's exactly what I'm trying to avoid, and now I'm in trouble.
Well, no, because I think it could be dangerous to be in neutral.
Why would it be dangerous to be in neutral?
Because,
as opposed to in gear.
Because you can't do anything if you're in neutral. And what if you have to do something suddenly? What if the guy in front of you, behind you, suddenly does something weird, and now you got to take the time to put it into a gear to get out of somebody's way?
Whereas
you're on
you
the highway. You're doing 50 miles an hour or something.
Whereas you could just step on the gas otherwise. If you were in third gear, you just step on the gas and go. Now you have to step on the clutch, grab the gear shift, stick it into third gear, let the clutch out, and then step on the gas.
All I'm saying is there is a downside, rare and improbable as it may be, and there is no upside that I can think of except your habit. So I would have to say, if I had to side with somebody, I would have to side with your wife.
Oh, no.
Because there's no upside to doing this, and there's a possible dangerous downside.
That's
where I stand, Glenn, and that's I'm sticking with it, as
all
my
right,
brother would
I
say.
I got one favor to ask. Just ask her to hit me a little softer. She's pregnant, and she's got a lot of pent up anxiety, and she's just whacking.
She's wailing you, huh?
Yeah, and that's dangerous.
Well, you'll learn faster that way. See you, Glenn.
Bye, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling. Good question. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Arlene from Amenia, New York.
Amenia?
Yeah.
Is that like anemia, only backwards?
Yeah.
Where's Amenia, New York?
It's like in the middle of, it's on the border of Connecticut.
Oh, like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yes.
So what's on your mind, Arlene?
Well, I'll tell you, I got one that it's a stumper and nobody can figure it out. So I figured I had to call you guys.
Great.
82 Volvo.
Ah, no problem.
Okay. I bought it for the 16-year-old daughter. She drives like a maniac. I mean, she is on the gas, 90 miles an hour all the time.
Oh, good, good.
So I wanted to keep her alive, Anyway, she comes home one day, she says, the car overheated. And I said, gee, I wonder, what's wrong. So anyways, it turns out she ran it off the road and didn't tell me, and she pushed the shroud up into the fan so the fan stopped turning.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
She kept driving.
What a knucklehead.
So she kept on going and just drove it home hot. The thing was just really overheated. Anyway, got it fixed up, got everything going again, changed the thermostat and everything. But I took it back into the mechanic and I said, this is what she's done. Check it out. Make sure she didn't mess anything up. And they said, no, it's fine. So she drives it and then it overheats again. And the water's going out somewhere. She's losing fluid. So I said, this is no good. So I brought it back again. They put the engine under pressure, and they can't find any leak. But darn it, every time she drives it up a hill and puts any pressure on the engine, she loses about, half a quart or more, and in a couple of days it'll overheat again.
Are these guys dingalings?
What? They're really, I'm telling you, I've had it to some really good places.
I doubt it.
But nobody can find out where the water's going.
Oh, the water's going out the tailpipe.
Everyone knows where the water's going.
Out the tailpipe.
Sure.
Yeah, because this may have been the case before she did that lane.
No, she fried it.
She fried it. Yeah,
she fried it.
Yeah.
When she bent the shroud and made it overheat, she blew the head gasket,
or cracked or warped the cylinder head. In any case. In any of those cases, water is getting into one of the combustion chambers when the engine is laboring or when it gets really hot, and it's going out the tailpipe, and finally the level gets so low that the thing overheats because of insufficient coolant.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So they need to do the test where they pressure test it overnight.
Okay.
And that will tell them when they come in the next morning, if they take all the spark plugs out and crank it over, they'll probably see coolant in one of those cylinders.
What's happening is the coolant is getting inside into the combustion chamber,
uh-huh.
Right? The spark plug ignites, burns the fuel, and turns all that stuff into steam, and it goes pouring out the tailpipe.
Oh.
You need a new head gasket.
So it can be fixed.
Or you may need a new cylinder head.
Yeah. But I wouldn't take it to any of the dingalings that you took it to
so far.
No,
try a new dingaling.
No, take some new dingaling.
Try
yeah.
some new dingaling. Who at least has some clue as to what's going on. If these guys are saying, we don't know where the water's going, then they got meatballs for brains.
Well, let me tell you, last time she drove it home, she said to me, well, don't worry. She said, it got hot, but I pulled off the side of the road and I didn't have any water, so I put in a couple of bottles of Mountain Dew. I said, no way. She said, yes, and it ran home pretty good.
That may have fixed it. it's often the case that great scientific discoveries are made by accident.
Yeah. Yeah. Arlene, your daughter...
Sounds dangerous.
She's 16.
I'll tell you, she's scary.
She is scary because she's like... It's like putting a rifle in the hands of a three-year-old.
Well, this is why I went for the big old Volvo.
But it's not good enough. She needs a little bit of instruction
What she needs? She needs the convent. You need to keep her out of circulation for a while.
No, I mean, it should be mandatory that before you can drive the car, you ought to get some kind of instruction on what's under there.
I never thought that she would. I thought she knew. She's been driving in a car since she was a baby.
She hasn't been paying attention.
Oh.
I know what type of person she is. She's artistic, isn't she? Is she a musician or something?
No, she rides horses.
Oh, she's just a wacko.
Yeah.
You can't trust them.
No.
I mean, for example, you shouldn't be pouring cold stuff into an engine that's overheated.
Especially if that cold stuff is a carbonated beverage.
Especially a carbonated beverage. I mean,
carbonated beverage is warm.
There is some.
But you know, the scarier thing is here that usually when you have a child like this that's wacko,
yeah,
you have to understand that all these traits are inherited.
And that's,
oh, yeah, yeah, right. It's true. You know, you're right there.
And so you can always blame it on her father. That's what my wife does.
You see, we live in a meanie in New York, so she has to have something to drive because
Not if she's in the convent.
God, do they still have convents?
Of course they still have convents.
Yeah, if not, you can start one.
Yeah. She'll be singing Sound of Music and all that stuff. You know.
Is it worth fixing?
Huh?
Is this car worth fixing? I've already put quite...
Forget the car. Get the convent. Get the yellow pages.
Yes, it is worth fixing unless she has cracked the block.
Right.
And then... You really have to. Then the convent would be good because you can stop praying for a new engine.
Well, and get it to switch to like Evian water instead of carbonated beverages.
Yeah, get the non gassato, as we call it.
Oh, Arlene, it's wonderful that you have such a great sense of humor about this.
Well, what else am I supposed to do?
Well, no,
I know.
And she knows. Arlene knows deep in her heart. That the reason her daughter is nuts is because Arlene is nuts.
I know she knows that. I didn't want to say it.
And we're much more forgiving when we know that we are the ones responsible for making the kid crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Arlene, this must be your curse. Do the best you can with it.
I'm going to try, and I thank you so much.
Thank you for your call.
So long.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Jesus.
Well, she made my day.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor just back from his must-see conquest at the Muscle Shoals, Muscle Beach, Muscles Marinara Mumbo is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjorie Novera. Our Bob Dylan specialist is I Shall Be Released. The driver of our moving van is Carrie DeSofa. Our mortgage consultant is Nora Lender B. And our staff disciplinarian is Tara Nguyen. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I can see that.
Oh, no. Our sexual harassment abuse. Sneak that in there, Dougie, you little devil. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iapoca. Our reluctant film editor is Francis Ford Cupholder. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, as always, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the Mark Wahlberg wannabe strutting around Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother. Someone told us that we're doing that wrong. It should be don't drive as my brother.
Oh, really?
That could be, but we're not going to do it.
No, too late for that now. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1528, download other time-wasting episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's long in the grill? The Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to your favorite NPR station. It's the good deed you've been looking for to help justify that new Lexus. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR interns tweak their resumes and move NPR just below babysitting experience whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.